Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It is a good day to come together and gather in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Just a few amens. There is no better place than I would want to be than right here, right now. In the presence of God, the heavenly host, and my brothers and sisters here. Amen. Yeah, thank you. Praise the Lord. Anybody who's been blessed so far in this conference, in this camp? Yes. Just Brother Bert says yes. Anybody else say yes? Yes. Have you been blessed, young ladies? Yes. Amen. Well, we believe that God is going to bless us again today. Amen. Amen. In fact, I want us to turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 5. And verse 8. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8. It says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Can we read that again? Let's read it together. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Hallelujah. How many of us want to see God this morning? Amen. Okay, praise the Lord. That's wonderful. Does anybody here do not want to see God? All right, raise your hands if you do. Anybody look around, everybody? Do you see anybody's hands raised? Hallelujah. I don't think anybody would raise their hands even if they didn't want to see God this morning. But the truth of the matter is, the Bible tells us that those that want to see God must be what? Pure in heart. Do you know the Bible you can use, and you can take that verse and you can turn it around. It's called turning the Bible around in the converse. So if it says that where it says blessed are those who are pure in heart, they shall see God, you can turn around and say, what is the opposite of blessed? Cursed. Right. Opposite of blessed is cursed. You know, in Deuteronomy it says that if you obey God, there's a blessing. If you disobey God, there's a curse. So you could say, well, cursed are the impure in heart, for they will not see God. Huh? So there is a recompense either way. You know, in obedience to having a pure heart, you're going to see God. If you choose to have an impure heart or unclean heart, you're going to be cursed. Isn't that true? Yes. Because an impure heart is a sinful heart. In a sinful heart, it says that the wages of sin is death. Anybody want to have death working in them? No, I don't want death because of sin. I want obedience and receiving righteousness. So blessed is something, it's a state of happiness. It's a place of being joyful. It's a place of feeling no ill nor bad thoughts or discouragement or depression. That isn't equated with blessed, you know. Huh? I'm blessed. You know, sometimes I see someone saying, I'm blessed. You know, sometimes they don't know the depths of what blessed is. Blessed is being in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Blessed is being in a place that you are free of all encumbrances in your life. Things that bring you down into a low state. Bringing you into a place of captivity and bondage. Hallelujah. Are we familiar with captivity and bondage? Everybody's quiet. Captivity and bondage. Well, every one of you should be familiar with captivity and bondage because we were all born in sin and trespasses. We all were once dead in sins. And there's some of you that still might be dead in your sins because there's some people here that are needing to make a decision to accept Christ in their life. Amen? Okay, so we're talking about Matthew 5, and I want to talk to you about the heart. The heart. Hallelujah. Because it says that the pure in heart will see God. Do you know what needs to come before a pure heart? A clean heart. See, there's a difference. Do you remember we sing a song? I believe it's in Psalms. It says, create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. You know, who wrote that psalm? David. And why did David write that psalm? Because he had sinned against God. Amen? Psalm 51. That's why he cried out to God. He had sinned against God. He was king of Israel, and he had committed adultery with another man's wife. And he knew that what he did had displeased God. So he knew he needed to get his heart clean. Right? Huh? You're out, you're working all day, and you get dirty from the ground, whatever you're doing. Isn't it feel so good to take a shower and clean yourself? Yes? Huh? Yes? Come on. Yes? Huh? I feel very good when I'm cleaned in my physical body. Huh? Well, think about it concerning your soul. Your soul. Hallelujah. Let's talk about our soul because, you know, the heart is synonymous with the soul.
Hallelujah.
We say amen?
Amen?
The heart is synonymous with the soul. And let me draw this for you. Hallelujah. Let me draw a picture of you. Okay, that's a picture. Well, yeah, it's a symbolic picture of you. I'm not a good drawer, so if I try to actually draw a picture of a person, I'd make a little stick person. But anyway, we are a three-part being. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Spirit, soul, and body. Three parts. Hallelujah. Every man that has been born in the world has a spirit, soul, and a body. But there is something that needs to be done with that spirit, soul, and body, is that it needs to be changed. Didn't we talk about that last night, about being changed? Huh? There's a little song that says, I'm being changed, changed, changed from glory to glory. Alright? Now before I became born again, I was this person here. And what goes up here? The mind? The will? Over here? Desires, thank you. And the emotions. Now remember, we're talking about the heart. And the heart is the very seat of you and I. Right here, in the middle of our soul, is our heart. So our heart is part of our soul, and it's the seat of where all decisions are made. Where the mind works in conjunction with the heart, the will, the emotions and desires, to produce either a positive or a negative result. Hallelujah. You read about it in your Bible. Go look up in your concordance and look at all the very many places it talks about the heart. It says that the heart believes unto righteousness in Romans chapter 10. It talks about an evil heart of unbelief. You could go on and go on. In fact, I looked it up. I think there's 750-some passages concerning the heart. Hallelujah. So we need to look at this carefully. And sometimes I have to look back on the day of my salvation to know what God did for you and I. You know, did you feel life this morning when we started to sing that song? I will serve you because what? I love you. Huh? Why? Because you have given life to me. Huh? Right? Huh? And what did Jesus say? He says, the devil comes not but to steal, to what? Kill and to destroy. He says, but I, Jesus, have come to give life and life more abundantly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I just rejoice. You know, I was thinking as we were singing that song, heartaches and broken pieces, ruined lives are why you died on Calvary. You know, I was saved 34 years ago. And when I was 27 years of age, and it brings me back immediately to that day when God loved me while I was yet unlovable, while I knew nothing about Him, while I was dead in my sin and my trespasses. Hallelujah. You see, being born again and being a Christian is not a formula. It's not a mindset, but it's a living reality. It's a living reality when heaven comes down and touches your soul and you live. Hallelujah. Huh? I'm hoping that as I'm speaking to you, it's ringing a bell within your hearts. I hope it's bringing back to your memory the day that you accepted Christ in your life. It is the greatest day of your life. Why? Because you went from death to resurrection. The Bible says in Ephesians, let's turn there. Ephesians, I believe it's chapter 2. Hallelujah. Some may say, well, Brother George, why are you saying that? These are basic things. Oh, yeah, they're basic. They're foundational. But if you do not have a sure foundation, you're in trouble. If you don't know the reality of your God, then you better get to know the reality of God. Amen? Amen? Come on, I hope you're with me this morning. Hallelujah. Because I believe that God is wanting to impart something to us today. Amen. So Ephesians chapter 2 says, and you hath He quickened. Hallelujah. How many of you are born again? Raise your hands. Okay, I see a lot of hands raised. All right. So if you're born again, that means that God has quickened you. How has He quickened you? Let me tell you. It says, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Well, what was dead in trespasses and sins? Was it my body? Was it my spirit? No, it's my soul. You see, your soul is what you really are. Hallelujah. You're a three-part being, but yet you're one, just like God. God is three parts. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He's three in one. So, now, my body is in a temporal realm because my body is subject to sin, or I should say disease, to the aging process. But there is a word that God, when God made Adam, He said that He made him to live forever. Huh? It was only in the day that he disobeyed God was the day He said, you will surely die, when he partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Hallelujah. And it says in Romans chapter 5, it says, by one man sin entered into the world, and thereby sin came upon all men. Hallelujah. We were all in the same boat. Huh? We were born under the same cloth. You know, I may have been born in America and you have been born in Nigeria. I may have been born white, you have been born black. But when you look inside of us, we're all the same. Huh? We're man. And we were man born in sin. Hallelujah. And it's not something that we think that we're just learning, because all we have to do is just know the first time we started to sin. Hallelujah. And that sin worketh death. And the Bible tells us that before we are born again, we're dead. We're dead. We're dead because of sin. Now, what does it mean, dead? How can I be dead if I'm still alive? How can I be dead if I'm still moving? My hands are moving. I was dead to God. Huh? My heart was not open to God. In fact, God was something that was a figment of my imagination, or that which was taught me, but God was not in me. Hallelujah. You know you can go to church and yet God not be in you? Come on now, think about it. We're talking about change. We're talking about opening our hearts up to God. And I look back at the day of my salvation, when God made himself known, one, first, that I was a sinner, and first, that my actions were taking me to hell. Hallelujah. There is no way. I'm telling you, brethren, I was raised Roman Catholic. Roman Catholicism, they teach you a lot of things, and they take a lot of their dogmas and certain truths out of the Bible. And I'm very thankful that they taught me about God, that there was a God, and that he had a son, Jesus Christ. And they said there was a heaven and a hell, and I believed it, and that there was a devil. Little basic thoughts. Hallelujah. But do you know what? Those teachings or those dogmas didn't even bring me near to God. Because in the fallacies and the wrong teachings of the church, never even taught about basic salvation. Think about it, brother. Think about it. Think about it. Think about it. How many of you have ever been Roman Catholic? Raise your hand. Brother Bert, Brother Mark, turn around, please, and look at all the hands that are raised that were once Roman Catholic. There's nobody in the room. Huh? There one. Hallelujah. All right. Well, let me tell you something. The Roman Catholic Church is the biggest denomination in the world. Think of it. Hallelujah. And they believe that they are the true church. They got some wrong thinking, don't they? Can we say amen? Of course, all of us believe we belong to the true church, don't we? Huh? Brother Mike, you belong to the true church? Yes. Brother Jajoki? Yes, we all believe that. If you went out to every church, you have a lot of churches here in Nigeria, don't you? Amen? You got them on every corner. You got three of them on every corner. Or every side street, you see the signs. We marvel whenever we come from the airport and we start to read all the names. The redeemed, the salvation ones, and then you see all the power, you know, come and be blessed, come and be healed, come and prosper. And if you would go and ask them, and a lot of them are born again churches, and if you would ask them the question, where is the true church? Where do you think they would say? Their church. Their church. Now, can every church be the right church? No. Hold that thought. When I became born again, I came to the revelation or the understanding that I was in need of being saved. Saved from what? Saved from sin and death in my life. Amen? And the day that God sent an evangelist, never knew what an evangelist, Roman Catholicism never talked about evangelists, but God sent a man, sent of God, to share to me that God was real. Hallelujah. Come on. God was real. Now, humor me, I don't know, I didn't see any hands raised of being a Roman Catholic. I was very foreign to this Bible, though I knew some of it, and I probably read portions, but to me it was just, there was no life in it, because there was no life in me. But the day that Christ revealed himself to me, one, that I was a sinner, first off, two, that I was going to hell, and three, that I needed a Savior, was the day when life began in my life, when I became born again. And it was by God sending a human agent called an evangelist, you know we're all called to be evangelists, to come and share of the good news of Jesus Christ. It wasn't something, I was 27 years of age. I heard about being saved and all this, but it was the day God ordained for him to meet me. He just used a human agent, but it was God that was knocking at the door of my heart. Huh? The Bible says that no man comes to the Father except for what? First, he draws him. God was drawing me. I didn't know it. All I knew was that I came to an understanding. I was dead in sin and trespasses, and this death was not going to get me into heaven. And it was God's responsibility to reveal himself and his plan and his purposes to bring me into a born-again experience. So when I heard the word and came to an understanding of being a sinner, and that only one could save me from my sins, a reality, not something in my head, you understand, but the Spirit of God coming to me, that I said, Jesus, come into my life. Forgive my sins. Oh, Catholics say it all the time. Forgive my sins. Say those prayers. There is something between when the heart is touched by God, because it says, with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. Did you hear what I said? The heart. The very center of your being, of your soul. Because salvation comes by faith. That night that I became born again, Jesus Christ came into my soul with his blood. Huh? Sort of foundational, isn't it? But you know what? I could be on foundation all day long and be so blessed, my brother. Because what God did to me, he took me while I was in the pool of my sins and destruction. I was going on a road so dark and so bleak, I don't know what the outcome. I might have been dead by the time I was 40. I have no idea. But I know that I was going down to hell. But the blood of Jesus Christ saved me as I called upon his name, and now my soul became alive. Huh? And I'm not only talking my soul, I'm talking your soul if you're born again. Huh? You became alive. Alive to what? Alive to God. Hallelujah. The reality of the presence of the living God. Huh? Brother Mike, that day on Calvary when Jesus Christ paid the price for all of our sins, and his blood was shed as it was on that cross, and he took the sins of all of us, not only just for those that were in the world, but all those that were to come. And he took our sins upon himself who knew no sin. He became the sacrificial lamb for all those that would call upon the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You know, that's why it's a reality. Someone can't tell another person about salvation unless they're first saved, because it's a reality to those that are born again. But do you know it's a good thing to rehearse your born again experience? Oh yes. You have to know where you came from. Hallelujah. You have to know where you came from that you can say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. Thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. Now that power of that blood, now that I was once dead in sins, the Bible says he has quickened. Or it means being made alive. Huh? How many of you remember the day of your salvation? Huh? You should. It's important for you to know. In fact, it's so important, you need to know whether you're born again or not. Because you know, in the church, some people think they're born again where they're not born again. Oh, yes. Some people think because they're reading the Bible, that they are in a church and they're wanting to do good, that they know God. But knowing God means an intimate relationship with God. It means that God has come and saw you, opened up your soul to Him that He might bring His blood to you. So I share with every man, every woman, and every child, you should know the day of your salvation. Yes, you should. Every person. You should know the day that it happened. Why? Because it's a reality of what God does. That's the first step into the kingdom of God. Amen? Oh, I like that young voice that just said amen. I wish the rest of us would say that. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. My oldest daughter, I only have one daughter, as one said one time, she's the only rose in my garden of my children. Praise the Lord. She's 40 years old. But when we became born again, there was a sensitive woman that was having a little Bible study for children, and she led my daughter, who was 6 years old, to be born again. She remembers that day yet, when she was six, when she asked Christ into her heart. Huh? 6 years old. We have seen some as young as three accept Christ in their lives. It's when a person becomes cognizant of their wrongdoing and their condition and hearing the need for them to be born again and to receive the blood of Jesus Christ, that becomes the age of their accountability. It's not a physical age. It's the age when they realize between right and wrong and the need for a Savior. Parents, if you remember the day when your children were young, tell them about the day that they accepted Christ. Huh? We have found that over the recent years that a lot of people needed to either really be born again or rededicate their lives. Because some just think, well, I've always been there. Well, I think I do, but I don't remember the day of my salvation. If you don't remember the day of your salvation, then there is a genuine doubt if you were truly saved. Hallelujah. Because you should know. Why? Well, two things. You need to know the reality of God and what the power of the blood of Jesus Christ does. When that reality is so powerful in your life, there is no way the devil can come and tell you you're not born again. All the forces of hell cannot tell me that I have not been born again. You could stick me into a prison for 20 years. You could try to brainwash me or do whatever you can. Will not erase what God did that day of my salvation. Hallelujah. Just a few amens.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Life came to me. The life is in the blood. Hallelujah. But it's just the beginning. Hallelujah. The beginning. You know those first couple months that I was saved? I was gone. I was just gone with the presence of God. It had become so real to me. All I could think about was God. All that I could want to read was about God. And everything was so much clearer, so much bluer. The skies out there were so blue, even when it looked cloudy. Huh? And if everybody was gloomy, I was happy. I was blessed because of the blood of Jesus Christ. I'll tell you how blessed I was. Remember, I was born Roman Catholic, right? And the first couple weeks, for the first time in my life, I wanted to go to Mass. Huh? That's what the Catholic Church calls their meetings, Masses. Because, see, I still believe God was in the Catholic Church. And I was ready to go for the first time in my life. I was happy. Because I was going to go and worship God. Oh! And I'm not a very good singer, my voice. I just, you know, I make a happy noise unto the Lord, a joyful noise unto the Lord. But I was going that day, I wanted to sing with all my might. You know, the Catholic Church, they sing in their masses, you know. But it's not a lot of life. So I go that day, I remember, I go into the Mass and I'm just, oh God, you know, I'm still thinking that somehow God's still there, you know. And they started to sing. And I forget if they were singing How Great Thou Art. I can't remember what song. And I opened my mouth to sing. And I'm so happy. And I look around and everybody's dead. Everybody's dead in the church. Everybody's... It's a rope. It's you know, they were somewhere else, but they... And I thought, ah, well, this is sort of amazing. Something's not right here. It took me probably about 5 or 6 weeks to realize that the Catholic Church was not my route. Hallelujah. And that was another thing in itself. You know, Brother Bert was talking about having to come out of his father's house and out from among his country and nation. I had to come out of Roman Catholicism. Roman Catholicism was in my family. I was the first one out of 9 children to be saved. On my father's side, I don't know how many generations, but everybody was Roman Catholic. Didn't know a single born-again person. On my mother's side, there was one cousin who had accepted Christ, and I found out she was different. It was about a year or two before I was saved. In fact, she had come to our house, and she handed us some books, which I read. That was pretty amazing, some of the books that I read. Two of them were Merlin Carruthers' Prison to Praise, Power to Praise. And boy, you give a Catholic one of them books, they go, what is wrong here? It does not fit in their theology. To praise the Lord even when someone dies? I was reading and little did I know those were seeds being planted. You know God plants seeds. Don't ever get discouraged if you share with somebody about the Lord and it doesn't seem like they reject it or that they're not receiving it. Just pray. It can be a seed. Just a seed. Planted here, planted there. You don't know when it's going to grow. Some seeds take longer time for germination, don't they, Brother Bert? Some are short, some are long. It must have taken that seed quite a while for this hard-hearted Roman Catholic to come to the revelation and to the understanding that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. Sort of like Martin Luther, you know. You ever study church history? And you see, you know, the first step or the revelation to that church age was the fact that Martin Luther was a Catholic and a Catholic priest, and a very good one at that, but he was trying to find out how to find peace, how to find the reality of God. He would go in and he would do everything the Catholic Church told him to do. He would fast, he would do indulgences, he would whip himself, and he would do all sorts of things to see if he could afflict himself that he might please God. And it wasn't until he read one day in the Word of God in Romans that the just shall live by faith. Hallelujah. The just shall live by faith. Hallelujah. It's not in works, lest any man should boast. Hallelujah. But it's faith in the Son of God, the reality. And I'm telling you something, brethren. I'm talking about life. Because God knew me while I was yet in my mother's womb. God knew me when I was in total sin and depravity. God knew me when I was doing all sorts of wickedness. And yet, while I was so unlovable, He loved me. And He had a day in which He was going to give me the opportunity to accept Christ in my life. And that day, when that day came, and I opened up my heart, He poured out His love. What? His love through the blood of Jesus Christ. And He saved me. Hallelujah. So that life, the life is in the blood. Come on, let's not think lightly of the blood. Let's not think of it as something far off. Do you know what? The blood is right here. The blood is hovering over all of us right now. Hovering, 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 hovering. And there's some of you that are wondering, am I truly born again? Am I truly in need of this? I don't know. Well, I'm telling you, if it is, God is working on your hearts because He wants you to be born again. He wants you to know Christ. He wants to know the reality in such a way that when you walk out there that you know that the life of God is inside of you. And when the life of God is inside of you, if God be for you, who can be against you? Huh? Hallelujah. I'll give you a little testimony. You know, when I got saved, I worked for the United States Post Office and I had a downtown route. And I'll always forget the day I'm walking. And I'm just delighting myself with God. You know, you need to delight yourself with God. If you don't do it, if you don't practice it, you're not going to be set free. Huh? All right, I haven't gotten off the subject. I'm talking about having a clean heart. I'm not just talking to people that need to be born again. I'm talking to every believer in this room. To know the reality of God in such a way that He's living, breathing, moving inside of you each and every day, from the morning you wake up to the moment you go to bed. So I'm delivering my mail one day, and I'm downtown next to the main post office. I'm walking across the street. There was a green light. You know, what does green mean? Go, right? I'm walking. And I'm walking, and all of a sudden I hear this screech! And a car had run a red light. I realized it was the devil who was after me. And that car stopped. It was like if I was Brother Bert right there walking, the car stopped right here. And I just turned and looked, and I never saw four more terrified nuns in all their life. Four nuns were in a car that ran a red light, and they thought that they had run me over. I looked, smiled, and I said, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, thank you, Jesus. God is a living reality, brethren. He's our ever-present help in time of trouble. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am with you always, even unto the ends of the earth. Hallelujah. So heaven came down and touched my soul, and I lived. And I was quickened. And with that quickening, there was something that was happening. Now, you remember now, think of it, brethren. I didn't have a fellowship like this. We knew nothing except for Roman Catholicism and a man who had gotten saved a few years earlier and started telling us about the Lord. But the insatisfiable hunger was there by the blood of Jesus Christ that began to put me on a path to know Him. Huh? Now that path wasn't what I ordained, but He ordained because He had a plan and a purpose in my life. All I did was to delight myself in God. And the more I delighted in Him, the more hungrier I got for God. How many of you want to be hungry for God? All right. How many of you have a cold heart? Any of you have a cold heart? A few. A couple honest ones here. Have you ever had a cold heart? A few more. Oh, boy. Oh. Come on. The reality is you had to be cold sometime even in your walk in God. Or have you always lived on a mountaintop experience? Ruby, have you always lived on a mountaintop? No. Getting to the mountaintop is not something that just happens by osmosis, does it? You have to seek the presence of God, don't you? Come on now. We're talking about the heart. We're talking about the soul. And we're talking about the ability to open your soul up to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, each day I wake and I have to choose this day who I'm going to serve. Aren't we given a free will? We can choose whether to get up and decide what we want to think, right? We've all been given a free will in our being to decide whether we're going to serve God or not. We're going to decide whether we get up. We're going to decide if we're going to obey our parents or not, right? Children, obey your parents. Why? Because it's right before God. And the blessing is that God says He will give long life to you as you walk in obedience. So, we need to open our hearts to God. And when we open our hearts to God, we open it up to His Word. Hallelujah. Can anybody here make yourself have a clean heart? Do we have our own ability to clean our own heart? No, we only have an ability whether we open ourselves up to God or not. Our door is like a heart. Our heart is like a door. Huh? We sing that song, "Swing wide, ye everlasting doors, and let the King of Glory come in." Hallelujah. So my heart, when I was born again, was now in tune with God, and I was hungry for God. Now remember, I'm telling you, I was a Roman Catholic, didn't know anything about the principles or doctrines of God. We started to fellowship with people. We started to have a Bible study in our home. And one day someone was talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And I also heard positive cases for negative, because some of the people that we knew didn't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the speaking in tongues. In fact, there was a little Baptist church, a little storefront in Dubuque. I won't say the name of it, but they would advertise on the radio. They said, "Oh yes, we're anti-devil, we're anti-tongues, we're anti-gifts of the Spirit." He said, "Come on in, we're going to have a good time." Oh yes. Oh yes, you should see this one church that if you got up and you raised your hands in church, they would escort you out with their because you're not to raise holy hands in their congregation. Oh yes, hallelujah. Christians believe a lot of weird and false doctrines, but you know, I thank God, because I went up to my room and I said, "Lord, I don't know. I don't understand fully what it means by the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues." I said, "Lord, some people say it's not of you, but your word says that there is the evidence of speaking in tongues." I go, "Regardless, Lord, whatever you have, I want." I raised my hands and I began to praise the Lord and worship Him, and the Holy Spirit fell on me that day. It was probably, I think, 6 weeks after I got born again, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Why would God give me the Holy Spirit? Huh? Anybody know? Why would God give you the Holy Spirit? What's that? You have to speak louder for me, I'm sorry. To guide you? Okay, that's a truth. That's a truth, because He says He will give the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you into all truth. How about speaking in tongues? Is that true? Huh? All right. Yes. How about the gifts of the Spirit? Comes by the Holy Spirit, doesn't it? But you know what the principal thing of the Holy Spirit is? To make you holy. The Holy Spirit is to make you holy. You can't make yourself holy. Huh? If I'm not holy, how can I make myself holy? But if I have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, amen? If I have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, His Spirit comes where? Does the Holy Spirit come down into my soul? Huh? It comes into my spirit. Why? Because your spirit is a part of you that is uncontaminated. I can see what you mean, Brother Bird. I have to watch your court. It's a part of you that's uncontaminated. It's the only place where the Holy Spirit can dwell in you, because your soul is not yet changed. Amen? How many of us know that we need to be changed in our soul? In our thinking? Huh? Anybody have problems with serving God in your mind? Huh? Well, the Bible says that thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee. Hallelujah. Do you know our soul is an undisciplined and prone to sin in nature, because it was born in sin and trespasses. But God has given us the power of the Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus Christ to counter that sinful nature of the soul. Huh? We could look at it in Romans 5, 6, and 7. Paul found out when he wrote in 5, he was explaining to the church. Everything that Paul went through, he first experienced it in himself. Then he taught it and he wrote it to the churches. But he said, why do I do the things I don't want to do? Any of you have that problem? Huh? Yes? And he says, and the things that I want to do, I don't do. Huh? You wake up, Brother Mike, and you go, I'm going to serve you today, God. I'm going to love you. I'm not going to sin today. And then you find us just the right circumstances, right situations, and all of a sudden you capitulate. And you feel not very good about yourself, do you? Huh? You ever feel that? Huh? Not feeling very good about yourself? Because why? Because sin has a consequence. Sin has a destructive force. And so we must get rid of sin in our lives. And sin can only be rid of by the power of the Spirit of God and be washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So Paul found an answer to it. You know, God, Paul found an answer to overcoming the sin nature. Because he says, wait. He says, I see something happening within my being. He says, he saw that he was doing things he didn't want to do. And he came to the conclusion in Romans chapter 7, he says, I see a law of sin working within my members to bring me into death and bondage. And he came to another conclusion. He said, oh, what was it? He said, I'm sorry. Oh, wretched. That word, wretched. Wretched. Hallelujah. Wretched means all out of sorts. No answer to the dilemma that he was. He says, oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from this bondage of death? Hallelujah. Then he said, I thank God. You know, as I was Christian, I read that and I go, I finally found the answer. I found the answer to how I'm going to overcome this sin. Huh? And I got to the end of chapter 7 and I began to read. He goes, so with my flesh I will serve sin, but with my mind I will serve God. Did I say that right? Huh? And you know what? As a young Christian, I felt let down. This isn't making sense. I don't understand it. I read it. I reread it. I reread it. I read it. And it took a while, but I came to the understanding of what Paul was saying. You see, you cannot heal sinful flesh. The only thing you can do with flesh, sinful nature, is kill it. You must put it to death. You must mortify it with its affections and its lust. But with your mind, you have the power to overcome the sinful nature. Hallelujah. That's why when you look at the soul there, you see that the soul, the mind, is at the top. There's something about the mind that is the doorway to the soul that you counter the sin nature with the Word of God. Amen? Thy Word have I hid in my heart. Where's the heart? The very center of your soul. I have hid your Word in my heart that what? That I might not sin against thee. Hallelujah. See, God wants us to have a pure heart. God wants us to have a pure heart. And see, brethren, unless this is your goal, is to have a pure heart, you're not going to give way to the Holy Spirit to change your soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Huh? Create in me a clean heart, O God. You know, when I was a Roman Catholic, they used to teach us a lot of rote prayers. You know what rote means? R-O-T-E? Rote. R-O-T-E. That means that you say it over and over and over and over again. I can't tell you how many Our Fathers that I said as a Catholic, and it did nothing for me to change me. He says, God says, you know, Jesus says, don't say repetitious prayers like the heathen. Huh? You see, the Word can only come alive in you if The blood of Jesus Christ is inside of your soul. Hallelujah. And the blood energizes the Word, which brings life to you. Hallelujah. So as a Christian, it's important to get the Word inside of you so that you will not sin against God. We also see that the Word of God is also a tool of our armament. Symbolic of the sword of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Because the entrance of His Word brings light within us. And light means change over darkness. So, as a Christian, we are continually fighting the good fight of faith. Huh? You know, we're all soldiers in here. Every one of us is a soldier. You young children, you're soldiers. There's no age limit for soldiers for the army of God. Young or old, you could be 100 years old and still a soldier for Christ. Huh? And the Bible says we're to put on the full armor of God that we are able to stand in the evil day, doing little to stand. Oh, all to stand. Okay, all right, just seeing if some of you are awake. All to stand. Come on. Hallelujah. I want to just share with you right now, there might be some of you that are in the valley of decision, and this is your day of your salvation. This is the day that God is knocking at the door of your heart. Whether you need to be born again or that you have been a Christian but you have been backsliding, you know yourself. Hallelujah. You know, some of you may have come to youth camp simply because your parents wanted you to come to youth camp. And that you maybe really didn't really care to come that much. Oh, maybe you wanted to come because you wanted to visit with your friends. Have a good time. Well, you can have a good time with your friends, right? Huh? It's enjoyable talking with friends, right? But the principal thing of coming to a youth camp is to meet the presence of the Almighty God. Huh? To desire change. And some of you are at an age that if you don't make the right decisions during this time of camp, you may not make the right decision again. Because the devil will be out there wanting to lay claim to your life, to take you down a path, to take you down a path that God never intends for you to go. I'm going to share something with you young people. I want you to raise your hands, everyone who is under the age of 27. Raise your hands. Under the age of 27. Brother Bert's raising his hands. He's a young man, but not that young yet. All right, 27. I see a lot of hands raised here. Let me share something with each of you. When I became born again, do you know what I felt? I said, God, if only I would have known you as a young person. If only I would have known you when I was a young teenager, 14, 15, 16. Do you know why? Because from the time I was a young person till the time I was 27, I submitted myself a lot to the devil. Now, God forgave my sins, but I have to overcome all of that past. Because, you know, the devil, he just doesn't go, oh, you accepted Christ in your life. Okay, bye. No. It's just the opposite. Now he wants to come. He wants to send all of his host of the devil. He says, what? Look at that guy. He was part of me. Go after him. And all the devils start coming. Hallelujah. Oh yes. The devil wants to bring up your past. So you young people, if you've never tasted alcohol, praise God for it. Don't drink it. If you never smoked pot, don't ever smoke it. No, truthfully. Come on. Oh, I'll tell you something. I'll tell you something. We've known Christians that walked with God, been in fellowship with us, and one day they fall. I'm talking about young men. I'm talking about young women. And all of a sudden, one day they're with us and one day they're not. The next thing we hear, they're drinking. Next thing we hear, they're doing drugs. Next thing, they're carousing and committing fornication. Don't think it could happen to you? Be very careful. Huh? Be very careful. Except for the grace of God, I could go that same way. Hallelujah. I have to get close to God. I have to walk with God in such a way that His presence, His blood is continually washing me. Hallelujah. Blood came to my soul the day I was born again, but it has been coming every time I call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood. The blood. The blood. Forgive me, God. I bring every thought into the obedience of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Some of you have unsanctified thought life. You allow the devil to come to give you thoughts that are not pleasing to God. Don't think that they don't have their consequences. Because if you give yourself to those thoughts will manifest in your life. Amen? You know, I think I saw everyone come up here last night that's wanting change. Right? I don't think, there might not have been 10, 15 seats that were still sitting for whatever reason, I don't know, but everyone was up here and they said, God, I want change. And God took you at His word, you know. So, that means that you are now opening yourself up to God. But now God has to do another step further. He's got to clean you up. He's got to clean us up. Huh? Huh? That's right. Or is anybody in here, am I talking to everybody that's without sin? Huh? Without problems? I don't see anybody raising their hands. Okay. Okay, oh, yes. Maybe you thought I forgot about the true church. The true church. Everybody out there says they belong to the true church. Even we believe that we belong to the true church. You want to see what the true church is?
That's the true church. Right here.
The tabernacle. Oh, yes. The tabernacle. Okay, wait a second. What am I doing? All right. Sorry. Maybe you all know this. But it was a revelation to me one day who the true church is. The true church is everyone that is born again. They belong to the true church. Because the true church has been purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. And when you become born again, you step into the tabernacle, and this picture is a picture of the church. It's a picture of Jesus Christ. It's also a picture of you, the temple of God. So if anybody says, oh, we got the true church, you can just say, oh, really? Well, then are you born again? And then you can say, well, if they said, yes, I'm born again, well, then you're part of the true church. But it's not a little church building down there. Huh? Nobody can say, oh, our church is a true church. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Just a few amens. Maybe it was not exciting for you, it's exciting for me. We have this one song, oh, sons of God, the day of Jubilee has dawned so bright and glorious for thee. Ever sing that song? And there's a part in it that says, and I am with every blood washed one. Huh? I don't care if they're in a denomination out there or not. If they're born again, they're my brothers and sisters in the Lord because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Does that mean that it's okay for them to be in a denomination? No, because God never made any denomination. One church, one true church, bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, and everyone that names the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You know, that's why I think it was the story of that someone came up to Moses and they said someone was, what were they, prophesying in the camp? Yeah, he says, hey, someone's over there. He goes, that's fine. He goes, let them prophesy. If they're moving in the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. You look over and over in the New Testament. There was a time concerning Apollos. There was a man preaching the word. And it was Aquila and Priscilla that had come into an understanding. They were disciples of Paul. And when they heard Apollos preach, he only knew about the baptism of John. Yet they knew, they perceived the presence of God in them. So they brought Apollos aside, and it says that they taught him the way more perfectly. More perfectly. So, it's not, okay, the utopia is not coming to our church. It's coming into the relationship with Jesus Christ, which is represented in the tabernacle. That we come into a living reality of His presence. There's so much. I've been sitting under the teaching of the tabernacle for 34 years, and I'm always learning about the tabernacle. There is much I don't know. There are some things that God gives other people about the tabernacle. It becomes a revelation to me. And you know, I've been, I've sat under so many meetings that talked about the brazen altar and the brazen laver over and over and over again. And you know, it has never been boring for me. Why? Because it's a living reality that I need working within my life. Huh? You see, the tabernacle has seven pieces of furniture. Seven is the number of perfection. The Bible also talks that there are seven trumpets. And seven trumpets is symbolic of seven messages. And you know that when that message, that first message of salvation sounded, when the second message goes, the first continues to sound. And when the second message sounds, that message continues to sound. And then the third revelation of coming into union with Christ in the tabernacle. If you go on into that understanding, you have to understand that that trumpet of that day of your salvation continues to blow. Every day. Every day it doesn't stop. So what happened to me June 27th, 1980 at 10 o'clock, all of a sudden in the Spirit the trumpet sounded into my life. I became alive. And it still sounded every day. And then the day that I was baptized in the Holy Ghost in August of 1980, a second trumpet began to sound. I know I don't sound like a real trumpet, but anyway. In the Spirit, that trumpet sounded, and it became more of a living reality. Then God began to give me of a greater understanding as I submitted to God. Not only in being born again, being filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that I was water baptized. I was sort of like Cornelius, you know. Didn't know any better. I didn't know that I needed to be water baptized until after I was filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. You all know the story about Cornelius, right? Huh? These people were hungering for God. They didn't know anything about Jesus Christ. They did not know anything about the Son of God and that He shed His life on Calvary. But when they submitted and they heard the voice of the Lord, there was such a faith in them that what? The Holy Ghost fell. They were all filled and speaking with other tongues. And Peter rose up and says, oh my gosh, what do we do now? He says, we have to go. We have to go and get them water baptized right away. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm wanting to whet your appetite this morning, each and every one of you. I'm wanting you to have a desire, something that you can only get by your willingness to open up your heart unto God. Hallelujah. Because just because you're born again doesn't mean that you're not dealing with a heart that is stony. Huh? Come on now. A stony heart? I'm born again. How can I have a stony heart? Because of the sin nature, the Adamic nature that must be continually put underfoot. Amen? Hallelujah. Let us turn to Ezekiel 11:19. And we're going to start in, let's start in 17. Hallelujah. Verse 17 in Ezekiel chapter 11 says, "Therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel." That's talking about coming from your nativity, just like the call of Abraham, right? The promised land. He says, I will give you Israel. And verse 18, and they shall come thither, and they shall take away all the destable things thereof, and all the abominations thereof from thence. You know what destable means? Well, everybody knows what stable is, right? Huh? If I stand here with my 2 feet, I'm pretty stable, right? Yes? Come on, I need to hear more yeses. I need to know you're not asleep. Okay. But if I stand here with 1 foot, I'm a little wobbly. And it wouldn't take much for even one of these little children to come up and... I'm in a destable condition. Detestable. Detestable condition. Well, it's that way with our heart. Hallelujah. Huh? When we have sin in our heart, when we have an unclean heart, we have an unstable heart, a detestable heart. So it says here that God will take these things away from us. And verse 19 says, and I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. What's that new spirit? The Holy Spirit. Amen? And I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and will give them a heart of flesh. That means only God can take away the stony heart. Huh? And it says here that they may walk in my statutes. Ah! So that means if I want to walk in the statutes of God, I must get rid of a stony heart. Hallelujah. Amen? It says, so they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinance and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Hallelujah. That is a promise in Jeremiah 31 also, that God will make a new covenant with the house of Israel after those days. Listen to me, brethren. This covenant that God is saying, he says, I'm going to walk in you. Huh? The living God walking in us. He says, I'm going to talk in you. What a promise. Huh? The living God working and walking in our lives. How many of you want it? Well, I'll tell you what, an unclean heart will not receive that promise. How can God walk in you if you have sin in your life? Oh, do we want to talk about sin? Everybody's quiet. The Bible teaches us that our sins separate us from God. So we need to do business with God. And do you know why God has a camp like this? So He can get you away from all the distractions out there. Bring you in here for a week long for you to hear the Word morning, noon, and night. So that the Word of God would bombard your thoughts, bombard your emotions, bombard your desires, bombard your will, so that you might yield yourself to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There may be some of you that need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Some of you need to be born again. Some of you need to rededicate your lives. Some of you need to to repent of your sins, whatever it may be, whatever God is dealing with you. Now, I don't know what God wants to deal with you because I'm not God. But I do know what His Word says, and I do know that as the Word of God is going forth, God is speaking something into your hearts and into your minds. Hallelujah. It's the spirit of conviction. Huh? God doesn't want any of you to perish. In fact, His Word says, He says, I find no delight in the death of anybody. No delight. Huh? Not God's nature. Not God's nature. So think about this God. This God who brings salvation, what His nature and character is, because He wants to put it in you. He wants His nature, His character, living in you. And He wants it more than you even want it. But He isn't going to make you do it. You have to make the decision. Same way with it is in salvation, the first step into the kingdom of God. Same way as it is at the brazen laver. Huh? And you know those first two pieces of furniture in the tabernacle, the brazen altar and the brazen laver, is made with bronze, brass. And brass is symbolic of judgment to sin. Hallelujah. Every blood washed one must deal with sin in their lives. Everyone must. Hallelujah. So we're talking about a heart after God, a clean heart and a pure heart. There's we know the story of David, right? Remember the story of David? When Samuel went to anoint the new king. Remember Saul had disobeyed God? You know, it's an interesting thing when you read in your word concerning Saul. God didn't pick Saul. The people wanted a king. So God says, okay, I'll let them have what they want. So when he went to get Saul, do you know what's very interesting? Because when you read in his word, when he called Saul, it says that God had to put a different heart in Saul. That's a little key there. That means that Saul's heart was different than David's. And it proved out. Even though that for a time, when God gave him a different heart, he obeyed it to a point, but then he turned away from God. And God had to take the kingdom, and he had said, I am going to seek a man who is after my own heart. And he found David. Now look at David and look at his life, young people. Here he was a 16-year-old little shepherd boy, off by himself. He was the youngest of them all, which means that he probably had the least rights. You're the youngest, so you get the duty of taking care of the sheep all by yourself. Yet something was with David's heart that pleased God. There was something that he had a relationship with God that he was able to overcome the enemies of the very things he was taking care of, which was his father's sheep. Huh? Said that he overcame the lion and the bear. Hallelujah. And you read later how he had testified. He knew that God was with him. And that's why God was able to say to Samuel when he said, I want you to anoint another man, but he's going to be after what? My own heart. How many of you want to have a heart like David had? How many of you would like to have God say, you are after my own heart? Hallelujah. That means what he's saying is that you're after my own character. You're after my own personality. You are after the things that I want. You're putting them first. Hallelujah. And it can be done. You can have a heart after God. You can have a pure heart. Hallelujah. First, a clean heart. And some of you are having to deal with making your heart clean. But the next step from clean is to keep a pure heart. Walking in the purity of serving God and loving Him. My goodness, my goodness, my goodness. God, help us. Help us to have a heart after You. Because see, brethren, I want to tell you something. God wants not only to live in you, He wants to walk in you. Hallelujah. He wants to take over your thinking. He wants to take over your desires. He wants to take over your will and your mind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I find out the more I give myself over to God, the more God comes into me. Hallelujah. And I become less like my father and my father's father and my father's father's father. Hallelujah. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. I was told one time, and I'm going to share this with you all. I'll never forget it, but that, do you know that every time that you come for a meeting, that you gather together, every time, there should be repentance in your midst. Think about that. Wait, why should there be repentance in our midst every time we gather? Why? Because it says where two or three are gathered in His name, He's there in the midst. When God is here and you recognize God, do you know what you're going to do? Fall on your face to God. Huh? Here we have the Apostle John in the book of Revelation, a man that was one of the closest to the Lord. And it says that when an angel appeared, it says he fell down at His feet. He says, and it was just a fellow servant that God had sent. He says, don't fall down, worship me. He said, worship God. Hallelujah. Because when you get into the presence of God, if you have a right and wanting a right heart for God, God's going to convict you of anything you've done wrong. And don't push it aside. Don't push it aside, the Holy Spirit in your life. I'm telling you something that I know from personal experience. I was in a meeting one time in Dubuque, Iowa, in a conference. And I'm sitting there listening to the Word of God. And you know what God did? God came to me and He began to convict me of the way I treated my father. Now, I did not treat my father outwardly bad, but in my heart, He did something that I was not pleased with. Huh? And I was a grown man of probably 43 years old. And I'm in this meeting, and all of a sudden, this man was up talking about the sin of David, in fact. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God comes to me and says, you did wrong by your thoughts of your father. And I'm sitting there, and I'm coming under the conviction of God. Now, I could have blown it off, but I recognized it as God. I said, you know, I wasn't thinking of it. I never felt any conviction up to that point. But at that moment, God said, what you did was wrong. And I kept feeling the burden of it, burden of it, burden of it. And you know what I had to do? I couldn't wait till that meeting was over so I could go up to my father's house and to ask my father for forgiveness. A 45-year-old man asking his 78-year-old father forgiveness? Oh yes, you know why? My heart was not right. I needed to repent. And I knew that I was probably a little edgy with my father, and I didn't know how much that I might have offended him. And when I went to him, it was 10 o'clock at night, he was laying in his bed, and I came in and I said, Dad, and my father was in his mid to late 70s. And he goes, oh, what are you doing here so late? I said, I need to talk to you, my father. And I said, Dad, I'm sorry. He goes, what are you saying you're sorry for? I go, well, you remember the other day when I was helping you with something, you wanted to do it one way, and I wanted to do it another way? I says, I didn't have very good thoughts. And he looked at me and goes, you know, he goes, I thought something was wrong with you that day. That told me that I was on the right path, because, see, he knew something was wrong with me. And I said, yeah, Dad, I did think that I knew the better way, but I'm wrong. And I ask that you forgive me, Dad. Now, my father was not saved. Not saved. That didn't exonerate me, a son of God. His own father, you're praying for his salvation. And then I thought I had a right to be upset with him, even though I thought I was more right than him. No, it was a wrong heart. And it was something that God didn't get away from me. So when I asked him for forgiveness, you know what he said to me? He said, you know, George, he goes, I thank you for coming. He goes, but I want to tell you something. You know, I have 8 brothers and sisters. He said, you know, of all my children, he goes, you're the least I have to worry about. And he was meaning it because of my relationship with God. He didn't know God, yet the Spirit of God is moving. And I could tell you that there were other instances in his life that brought him to a place that before he died, 3 months before he died, he accepted Christ in his life. Huh? He was never in no meeting or anything, but he saw my life. He saw my life for, oh my gosh, it was 6 years ago. For 28 years, he saw me walking with the presence of God. Hallelujah. Who do you think is watching you? Huh? Who do you think that is watching you? Do you have a testimony of your relationship with God so much that you would be able to that someone would say, I want what you want? Huh? It's not going to be when you're out doing things of the world or thinking on carnal things. It's going to be as you walk in the presence of God that God's going to come to you. And you don't know it, but little by little, we were singing that song last night, little by little, he's changing me. Little by little. This morning, he's changing you little by little. Don't give up. I'm telling you that there is the spirit of conviction here in this room. It's here this week. God is wanting to touch and do business with each and every one of us, young and old alike. Hallelujah. Young and old alike, God is wanting you to give your heart totally to Him. God is wanting you to confess your sins, whatever it may be, whatever He brings conviction to you. But God wants to do business. Why? Because God wants to change you. He wants to give you a new heart. He wants to give you a clean heart. Hallelujah. A clean heart, so you feel so clean. Boy, when you get right with God, when you get right with your relationships with others, when you get right, you know, oh, wait a second, did I say something different? Oh, yeah, I'm going to get right with God, but I'm not going to get right with those relationships. Oh, God isn't going to let you go. God says that you must forgive others in order for you to be forgiven. You can hold nothing at anyone for whatever they did. Because if God forgave you of your sins and brought you into salvation, what is it that someone would do to you? Remember this story, the parable of the king? What was the amount that he forgave? It was. If you looked it up in today's dollars, it was like he owed the king $1 million, and the king forgave him, and yet his servant came and he only owed him like $20. He says, what? Either you pay or I'll put you in prison. It reveals the heart and the nature of us that we have to get rid of. Of course, maybe none of you ever get offended with anybody. Right? Nigerians never get upset with anybody else? Huh? No, we're all dealing with that sinful nature. Hallelujah. So, Lord, we ask, let us pray today. Let us pray. And I'm saying not only this morning, whatever God wants to do, give God the right. Give Him the open door to come in and do whatever He needs to do in your soul to get your heart right with God. Because see, once God's able to do that, then He's going to reveal what His plan and purpose is for you to walk as a son of God. Father, I want to pray today for myself. I want to pray for my brothers and sisters here. I want to pray, Lord, that You create in me a clean heart. Your Word teaches that, Lord, the pure in heart will see God. I want to see You, Lord. And I do not want anything to come between my relationship with You and my own heart. So, Lord, I ask that You search me and know my ways. See if there be any wicked way in me. And if there be wicked way in me, Lord, show me what I need to do. How I can repent. How I can change. How I can give You the liberty to come in and to forgive me and to wash me of my sins. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Create in my brothers and sisters in this room a clean heart. And Lord, take not the Holy Spirit from us. God, we know Your Spirit is like a gentleman. He only comes in where He's invited. And Lord, I know that You can't come in if my soul and my heart is not right or prepared. So God, help me. Help me to obey your Spirit. Forgive my sins today, Lord. And lead me in the way everlasting, I pray. In the name of Jesus, amen. God bless you today, brethren. Hallelujah.